Exodus chapter 32 is where we're going to be focusing this morning. The title of this message today is called Don't Pass the Buck. Now, Jeremiah, I'm not talking about when you're in the deer stand, the buck walks by, don't pass up the buck. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, what I'm talking about is shirking responsibility, laying blame on somebody else. That's what I'm talking about. Don't do that. Okay, we're going to talk about some people that have done that, and we're going to talk about some people that approached it from a different way. And so our encouragement to you is don't pass the buck. There's danger in thinking that our image or our reputation or our pride is more important than honoring God. There's danger in that. There's danger in thinking that whatever I've got going on in my plans is more important than honoring God. I will tell you that if you will live honestly and not be too concerned about being popular, being the favorite, or being liked by everyone, then you don't have to be burdened with trying to stay ahead of the lies that you've told just to impress somebody. Has anybody ever stretched the truth to make your situation sound a little better or worse? Right? Sometimes we stretch the truth to say, oh, woe is me, and you need to know all about it. Sometimes we say, yeah, I was pretty good at this and whatever, and we build it up a little bit to make it sound like I was actually better than I was. Has anybody ever done that? Just me. Wow. And two other ladies. Okay. Three, four. Okay. I guess if we stayed here long enough, we'd probably get a lot more hands. If we'll just live honestly, and we won't have to worry about, okay, what did I tell these people? Who am I supposed to be to them? Because I've told them I'm such and such. Who am I? It gets very confusing. Then you find out you're on TV someday. Not on the Jerry Springer show, but I'm talking about something else. And you're trying to explain. Okay, yeah, I know I said that, but you know, you don't have to worry about all that. When you get big and famous, you don't have to worry about it if you'll just live honestly. I guess at the heart of this issue is a word that it's integrity. If you'll have integrity, you can fake integrity for a while. Did you know that? You can fake integrity for a while. But when the lies catch up with you, and I will tell you, the lies always catch up with you, you'll lose any integrity that you think you may have had. Graduates, today, I want to tell you to be honest. Own up to your mistakes and don't pass the buck. When you get older like the rest of us and no longer make mistakes, what? Then you can be concerned about your image. And I'll just tell you, just for your information, there's not a person in this room that doesn't make mistakes. Matter of fact, there's not a person in this entire world that doesn't make mistakes. And so my encouragement to you would be, when you make those mistakes, own up to them. Own up to them. I guess, after all, this message is not just for them, right? Because if we all make mistakes, we all need to learn from this. Every one of us. If we'll just own up to our mistakes. Besides, the image that God wants us to have is His image. Isn't that right? Didn't He create us in His image? He did. He created us in His image. What does that image look like? What is that image that God created us in? What does that look like? Looks like Jesus. That's a great example for us, is to look at Jesus and His life. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, that's not fair. Hold on. He never made any mistakes. I'm just telling you what God's Word says. If you believe His Word, then you'll agree with me that we can be glad that God's not fair with us. I'd rather have His mercy and His grace than His fairness any day. Because I need it. Because I'm a mistake maker. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. You will continue to make mistakes. And when that happens, own up. There's a huge difference. Listen, this is good. There's a huge difference between God's blessing that makes you acceptable to people and wanting to be liked regardless of the cost. There will be times in your lives. There have been times in your lives, and there will continue to be times in your lives when you feel like you need to be something to impress somebody else, to be liked. You need to compromise some things in order to be with the in crowd, right? And we as adults, we still encounter those same issues, don't we? My encouragement to you is to understand who God made you to be and be that person. And His blessings upon you will be greater than any of those other friends or so-called friends could ever bestow upon you. Don't pass the buck. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 32. I'm going to start here at the first verse of chapter 32. When the people saw Moses, back up here, just Moses had gone up on the mountain. This is there in the wilderness. Moses had gone up on the mountain, and he was up there for a while, like a long time. And the people got antsy. And so here we pick up in verse 1. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool, and then said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." I want to pause here just for a moment. The people wanted something to worship, something they could feel, something that was tangible, right? Then Moses was gone. He was up on the mountain. They were like, "We don't even know if he's even coming back. Give us something," because they, you know, kind of wanted to look at something. I'm going to tell you this, that people, let me back up just a second. Aaron, I think he recognized they brought gold and stuff with them out of Egypt, right? The Egyptians basically said, "Here, take this and leave. You brought death and destruction upon us. Take this and leave." And so they had all this stuff, but they couldn't spend it in the desert. They didn't have anything out there. And so Aaron, when they said, "Make for us something," I think Aaron said, "Okay, surely if I tell them something that it's going to cost them a great amount, that they'll say, no, never mind." I think that's what happened. I think they came to Aaron, and Aaron said, "Okay, I'll tell you what, bring me all your valuable stuff." And you know what the people did? They said, "Okay." They didn't even blink an eye. They wanted to worship an idol so bad, they didn't care about the cost. There's a whole sermon in that right there. We need to be careful what we give our worship to, because there is a cost. There's always a cost. Now that was free. That wasn't part of the message. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival of the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. All that to say they were having a pretty wild party. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I've seen these people," said the Lord, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord, his God. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt? with great power and a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off of the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger. Relent. Do not bring disaster upon your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land that I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring upon his people the disaster he had threatened. Moses turned and went down to the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writings was the work of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, there is the sound of war in the camp. Moses replied, it's not the sound of victory, and it's not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear. When Moses approached the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. His anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them into pieces at the foot of the mountains. And he took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire, and then he ground it into powder and scattered it on the water and made the Israelites drink it. He said to Aaron, what did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin? Now, here we get to the crux. Do not be angry, my Lord, Aaron answered. You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So I told them, whoever has any gold, jewelry, take it off. Listen carefully. They gave me the gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. He passed the buck. He said, hold on. Wait a minute. Put a little love in it. He said, all I did was say, give me your gold. I threw it in the fire, and out came the calf. Look. Voila. Magic. It was destined to be. Yeah, I didn't do it. All I did was put it in the fire, and it happened. And that's not true. If you go back to the first part, it said that he took it and he fashioned it into this golden calf. Did y'all remember that? The first part, he took it and he fashioned it. But what he told Moses was, I didn't do it. All I did was put it in the fire and out came the calf. He passed the buck. He's not the only one to have ever done that. If you go all the way back to the very beginning, God made Adam and he made Eve. He gave them the garden and said, do as you please in here, have what you want, except for this one tree. One tree. Don't eat of its fruit. They did. God said, what happened? Explain this to me. And Adam said, oh, this woman that you gave me the fruit, and I took it and ate it. You see, Adam was not only blaming Eve, but he was really, in effect, blaming God for even making her. This woman who you gave me, as if to say, if you hadn't gave me the woman, I wouldn't have eaten of the fruit. It's your fault. He was passing the buck all the way up to the top, wasn't he? Eve said, oh, it wasn't me. It was the serpent. The serpent made me do it. He convinced me. He tricked me. It was somebody else's fault. You see, they didn't own up to their mistake. Tell you about somebody else, though. We contrast those responses with a man out of 2 Samuel. It says, let me turn to it real quick. 2 Samuel chapter 12. In this passage, David, King David, has sinned with Bathsheba. Familiar with that story? Many of you will be. He saw his his neighbor's wife up on the roof taking a bath, and he thought, I like what I see. Sent his servants to bring her to him. They did, and then he tried to cover it up. Nathan, the prophet, came to David and said, David, let me tell you a story. He told a story about a guy who had one little old sheep, lamb, and his neighbor had a whole bunch of them. And the neighbor decided to throw a party, but he didn't butcher one of his lambs. He went and stole the neighbor's single sheep and offered that up. And David said, that man needs to die. That's wrong. He shouldn't do that. And Nathan said, that man is you. You have done this. I want you to see what David's response was. If you look at, if you've turned to it, it's in chapter 2 Samuel chapter 12. If you haven't, just listen. In verse 11, this is what the Lord says. Out of your own household I'm going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all of Israel. Then David said to Nathan, the first words out of David's mouth, after he's been confronted and it's been shown, he said this in verse 13. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He didn't try to pass the buck. He recognized that what he did was sin. Not only was it a sin against Bathsheba and against Uriah, but he recognized that his sin was against the Lord. All sin is against the Lord. All sin, every sin, always is against the Lord. David said, I have sinned against the Lord. What is David known for? What is said about David? How's he remembered? A man after God's own heart. Why? It's because of his integrity. And then when his integrity failed, his confession and repentance. That made him a man after God's own heart. After this took place, Psalm 51 is attributed to David's life right after this time. And he says this, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the most inner place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be made clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant to me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from the blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. There will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. David got it. He said, I messed up. And I recognize that when I messed up and I offended you, God. Not to say that when we mess up, we don't hurt other people. Not to say that we don't offend other people, but David recognized that the ultimate recipient of any offense we create or any offense we make is against God Almighty. He said, against you and you alone have I sinned. Now, God, create in me a clean heart. Cleanse me from all that. Make me right. I want to be righteous. I want to be in right standing with you. We talked about that last week. I want to be in right standing with you. Father, I know my mistake. You know my mistake. I admit it to you. Forgive me. That's how we become men and women after God's own heart. Be men and women after God's own heart. Own up to our mistakes. I hear something all the time that just drives me crazy. I'll hear something like this. I'm sorry if you got offended by what I said. I'm sorry if your feelings got hurt by what I did. What kind of an apology is that? That's like saying, I'm sorry that you're such a small person that you can't take my situation. I'm sorry that you're so easily offended that when I make a little statement that you get all upset. I'm sorry you're that way. That's passing the buck. That's putting that blame off on somebody else and saying, I'm sorry that you're the way you are, that you just can't handle the truth. Those are not apologies. Those are not acts of repentance. That's very similar to what Adam did. I'm sorry you gave me this woman. It's your fault that you got bad. It's your fault you got mad, God. I wouldn't have done this if it hadn't been for her. A person after God's own heart says, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. When you fail, when you sin, be more concerned about your standing with God than with your standing with men. And I'll tell you why. People may forgive you, and they may not. That's true. People may forgive you, and they may not. And the truth is, there will be some that will forgive you, and there will be some that will not forgive you. But God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. People will come and go. The Bible says that they will, like grass, wither and fade, but the Word of God stands forever. People may even kill you, but my God gives life everlasting. So it all comes down to this. Who are you trying to please? Who are you trying to please? Man who wither and fade away and are wishy-washy and sometimes they'll be forgiving, sometimes won't, and they may even do damage to you. You trying to please that? Or somebody that gives you life everlasting, gives you grace and forgiveness, gives you love unconditionally? Who are you trying to please? Who are we trying to please? And when we mess up, fess up, own up, man up, woman up. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but just up. When you mess up, I'm not saying if you ever make a mistake. I'm not saying if you mess up, if you sin. I'm telling you when you do it. Because the Bible tells me that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. And we all need to fess up. We all need to own up. We all need to fall on our God, on our knees and say, God, against you and you alone have I sinned. Now create in me a right, righteous heart, a clean heart, a pure heart. Make me desire you more. Make me not so concerned with pleasing these people who are wishy-washy and they'll fade away. Help me be more concerned about pleasing you, who I'm going to spend all of my eternity with. I hope you're going to spend all of eternity with my Father. It's a good place. Who are you trying to please? Who do we try to please? Where is our focus? My hope and my prayer for you, for everybody in here, even those that are listening to this on the internet, that you would right now stop, pause, and say, Lord, show me. Show me where I'm deficient. Show me where I'm failing. Show me that where I have sinned that I have not confessed to you. Father, I want to please you. Own up. Don't pass the buck. Nobody makes you sin. We choose it. And when we try to lay that blame on somebody else, we're no better than what Adam was doing. We're no better than what Aaron was doing. Well, I just put it in the fire and out came a calf. Well, what else was I supposed to do? Well, I just showed up. I didn't know there was all that stuff going to be there. I just showed up. It wasn't my fault. I just said it. I didn't mean for you to take it that way. Own up. Own up right now with Christ. What is your situation with Jesus? My encouragement to you would be this. Graduates, as you go out into to life and to school, that this message would be on the right between your eyes all the time. That when you mess up, you're not messing up against other people. You're messing up against God Almighty. And He deserves better than that. He deserves better than for us to say, well, but God, surely you understand. I'll tell you what He deserves. He deserves for us to fall flat on our face and beg for mercy. And He freely gives it. That's the greatest thing about it. He freely gives it. Do you want it? Do you desire that more than the affection, more than the applause, more than the recognition of man? My hope and my prayer is that you do, and that you will continue to grow more and more in that manner, that you would have a desire that grows within you to be more and more and more like Christ. To use David for that example, to be known as a man or woman that is after God's own heart. That's my prayer for you. That's our prayer for you. That's my prayer for each and every one of us. That we will be known as people after God's own heart. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. This is your time to respond. This is your invitation. I'll be in the front. If you need to respond, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in any form or fashion today, let me encourage you, respond to that. You respond as we sing.